You were washed. You were.
You guys, sanctified. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Some of you know that Pastor Jared and five other of our members here are in Pittsburgh right now. They are being the hands and feet, partnering up with another church in Pittsburgh to show people love of Jesus. And I think that's an awesome thing. I wish I could be there, but I appreciate the fact that he trusted me to speak this morning, so thank you for that. If you hadn't noticed, we have a lot of volunteers here. Number one is our worship band. They do an awesome job, so everybody give them a hand. Yes. And today we have not only the usual volunteers serving coffee, greeting, setting up, tearing down, and all that, but I am part of the youth ministry team here, so I recruited some of the youth to help today. They were back there at that table, Ms. Jordan. She gave us one of the verses we're using today. We have set up and tear down. We have them volunteering and kids. So part of being the youth ministry is helping them to feel included in the church. Like they're not just youth. That's not just their thing. We want them to know that they have a place with us. And as followers of Christ, we're called to serve and we're called to help out and do that. So y'all give our youth a round of applause. Make them nervous or whatever. Y'all are doing an awesome job and I'm proud of y'all. So before I get started, I want everyone to know that I am a work in progress. When I say things today during this message that God's given me, they are speaking and they have spoken to me as well. I am not where I want to be as a believer, who I completely need to be, or the complete warrior for Christ that he calls me to be. Okay, but just like a lot of you, I am struggling and fighting to get there daily. Bible says, take up your cross daily and follow me. That's something I have to do every day. So I'm going to pray real quick, and we'll dive into it a little deeper. Father God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity today, God. Thank you for bringing these people here to hear what you have to say, God. I pray that you put the right words in my mouth and you take the nerves away and you just help us to just enjoy being in your presence this morning and get what you have for us, God. We just thank you and love you. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so I like having a message title. It kind of helps me when I'm writing it to keep on track a little bit. So I'm calling this one, Who Am I? I think it was awesome that they came up with that song that says who I am right before this. So who am I? If someone were to ask you who you are and to describe yourself, what would you say? So what defines you? What gives you your identity? Do you even know? This one is scary for me to think about sometimes, but if someone were to describe me to somebody else, how would they describe me? If someone were to describe you to somebody else, how would they describe you? Have you ever thought about that? So for me, who is Chris to them? What identity do I have to other people? Have we fooled them into thinking we are someone we aren't because they don't know the ugly truth? We went through a thing with the youth about identity and throughout talking to people about Jesus and about listening to stories and stuff like that, one thing that I've come to realize is that talk is cheap, right? You can say all these things. You can tell people you're this. You can tell people you're that. But until you are proven to speak the truth through your actions, who are you really? For years after I accepted Jesus, I didn't know I needed to ask myself that question. until God showed me that I needed to until God showed me that I needed to realize what was going on in my life, and that made, I just typed that all wrong. That's all right. Until God showed me that I needed to realize what was going on in my life, that made me and makes me a hypocrite. I would like to share with you a little bit about the old me, how I identified, how I identify now, and how I got there, and some reasons of my assurance of who I am now. So I'm not saying by any means that I don't struggle and that I don't still struggle and have temptations from my old identity. I'm not saying that at all. But I will tell you, my old identity doesn't rule and control my life anymore. My old self isn't the person God designed me for, and I know that for sure now. So if you knew me before I accepted Christ, and even for a longer time than I want to admit after I accepted Christ, I would have probably looked like a nice guy to most. I would go out of my way to help you, but usually wouldn't care to do it. I would do it because I know that it makes me look good. You may have said that I was a good guy. You may have said, oh yeah, he's a gym rat. He's a good family man. I mean, the list goes on and on and on because I know how to make myself look good to people. But the truth is, I was extremely broken. The truth is, I had sin in my life that that controlled my life and that I let control my life. At one point in my life, I had a learned hate for people and couldn't be around them due to some of my actions against people and fear of retaliation from people. I could and would pretend that wasn't true, but in actuality, it was true. In actuality, I had sin rooted that I never tried to fight anger and hate and you name it. It's something I struggle with. You know, I was a lover of violence and fighting. That adrenaline rush was something that I tried to get every time I got the chance, and I thought I could get away with it, and that's the key, because I knew when to do it, and I knew when not to do it, and when I figured I could get away with it and there would be no harmful repercussions against me, that's when I would do it. Anytime I could, I would start a physical altercation or batter somebody or belittle them with words. And that wasn't it. I had a lust and addiction problem. I can't say have because God saved me from it, but I had an addiction with pornography that God's helped me overcome with tobacco. And I say it was a problem because I let those rule my thoughts and actions. I let those be a part of my identity and take me away from my focus on God. Now, I'm not saying that because I quit tobacco that you have to. I'm not saying that. I am saying that was one thing, like I just said, that was controlling my life and taking me away from God, so he convicted me of that. And when I found out my daughter was going to be born, that he helped me to quit that. It's a personal conviction, and just like every sin, it is a personal conviction between me and God, just like every other thing that I have let control my life at one point. That wasn't on par with the truth of the Bible, or in a more simple word, that was sin in my life, and God convicted me of that. So I was very deceitful and very manipulative. I claimed I had fully given my life over to Christ when I was around certain people. But when I was living in reality at my job or at home or away from people that I wanted to see me as good, I was living in sin and letting that be who I really was. I was letting that identity of sin and that part of me that was human control my life. Because God says we were born sinners. I was letting that natural nature take over. So here, just a little bit of piece of that, how do I know now that I am not who I once was? How do I know who I am? Well, the first step after salvation on the right path was finally listening to God and letting Him show me what and who I was missing. That was Him. Letting Jesus guide me to the correct path for my life, and when I had to finally submit to Christ for this to happen. It wasn't for me. It started at, yes, Jesus, I believe you died and rose again. But for me, I didn't fully start accepting who I was until I fully gave it all to Jesus. Till I fully said, okay, I'm still struggling with this, but it's yours now. This isn't who I want to be now. So when I decided to finally believe the whole truth of Jesus and follow Him, accept His love that He was offering me despite my identity as a wicked sinner covered in sin as red as blood. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Guys, if y'all knew the amount of sin and how bad of a person that I used to be, that my true self used to be, I shouldn't be up here. I shouldn't be in this church. If you knew the person I was and you knew how bad I really was, you would begin to understand how big of a deal this actually is, that I have a new identity now, that I have been set free from that crimson blood that was covering my heart, that's called sin. So to get to the verse that Ms. Jordan read for us, is 1 Corinthians 6:11. I don't think I gave it to them, so I'll give you a second if you want to turn to it. It says 1 Corinthians 6:11. It says, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So I told you I was going to give you some ways that I know for sure that I am a new person. God gave me this verse, so let's start with the first part of it. It says, and I'm going to change it to "I was" instead of "it says where you were." It says, "So I was washed." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." The old, it's talking about the old me, the old identity of me that was in sin has passed away. God took that person away. "Behold, the new has come." So Jesus was waiting on me to realize that I had to let Him know that I was a sinner. He was waiting on me to realize that my hands and my heart were covered in sin as crimson red as blood. That hate, that lust, that pornography, that addiction that controlled my life. So when I decided to give my life to Jesus, He took all that old me away. Like He said, He washed it away. He washed me clean with the blood He shed on the cross. That was the only way that I could be clean. He washed my old identity away, and He made me a new creation with a new identity. Second part of that, or second thing in that verse, was it says, "I was sanctified." To be sanctified means to be set free from sin. Purified by the blood of Jesus. I was set apart from the old me, the sinful identity of me, and God declared me as holy. He wrote my name in the book of life. And for me, that's just, that old me is not the me anymore. And that's just for me, that's just powerful. Just like, wow. So now Jesus has washed away my sins, and He has purified me, He has sanctified me in His name. And now my anger, you know, my sexual desires, my porn addiction, my hate, my pride, and so much more is no longer connected to who I really am. It doesn't belong to my identity anymore because I was sanctified. The fact that I was even able to be sanctified is amazing to me. Next, I was justified. This means that Jesus declared me as righteous. He declared me as righteous because of his blood in the eyes of God. To be declared righteous means that you are now a person who thinks, who talks, who acts, and does things in a way that is pleasing to God and his laws. The old me knew how to pretend, okay? But God knows my heart. God knows your heart. God knows the ins and outs that we pretend that are and aren't there. God knows the sins we deal with. And just right here, he tells us in his word that he can take care of that. One little old verse in the Bible. One little old verse in all these pages right here. And all these words tell us that God can do that. So how did this washing, sanctification, and justification happen? Well, it started with a very simple sentence, and I said, "Yes, Lord." Okay, I said, "Yes, Lord, I am a sinful man who is letting my sin define me. I know you came to earth as a baby, lived a life full of perfection throughout temptation, died on the cross for my sins after you were beaten and tortured simply because you said you were who you really are. You were buried and sealed in a tomb, but..." Guys, and this "but" is what defines us. This "but" is what can give us a new identity when we believe in it, when we know it's true. If I was at youth right now, I'd have a lot of people laughing because I keep saying "but," and that's okay. Y'all can laugh if you want to, but... this "but" can give us a new identity when we believe it. But 3 days later, you came to life and emptied that tomb. 3 days later, they walked up to the tomb and it was open. The rags that bound Jesus or wrapped Jesus was folded up and they were in there. There was no Jesus there. Because he came to life. You came to life, God, and he became my hope. He became our hope. He became our Father. And he made it possible for me to have an identity in which there is no condemnation for my sin. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." That means my old identity of sin is not going to send me to hell because I can't be condemned to hell anymore. I'm not perfect. I'm still going to sin. But Jesus has shown me that when I do mess up, that doesn't keep stacking up. I ask for forgiveness. I have a way out of my sin. And that because I am still a sinner, but I have a new identity, that Jesus has shown me that I am not going to hell because I've believed in him. I have my new identity and I know who I am. This is something I was convicted of and that I see and hear happening within the church. So let me talk to a few fellow believers in the room, okay? This is going to get maybe a little serious, and if you're mad at me after this, you'll get over it. So why, as Christians, as believers of the truth, are we putting people into categories based off of their sin? Why do we treat people differently based off the sins we know they've committed? Why do we shun and shame them based off of a sin they have committed? Our job as followers of Christ is to show them love no matter what. Some of you may or may not know, but I work at a job where I take a crew of inmates out and we go to work in public. I pick them up in the morning and we go do work orders and we just go work. So it's my job as a correctional officer to keep the public safe and to make sure the prisoners do what is asked of them and that they return back to the camp at the end of the workday. No, it is not my job or my duty to condemn these men based off of why they are locked up. They are already caught. So it is up to the judge to condemn them or to set them free. A lot of times, and I've even been guilty of it, a lot of times it's easy to see the sin and identify that person as that sin. A lot of times it's easy to put people in a category of, oh, you have this problem, oh, you need to do this. Oh, you see this, or you see this in that person, and oh, you need to do this. We weren't called, as people with a new identity, we weren't called to point fingers at people. You know, I was writing this, and I thought it was going to be a lot longer, but it's not. And that's okay. But our Father in heaven doesn't condemn us because of his mercy and love when we sin after we accept Jesus. And we know that, so why are we condemning other people? Have you not forgotten that you have sinned? Have you not forgotten that you need the grace and mercy of Jesus sometimes every day? I know I do. Sometimes 20 times a day. Have you not forgotten that you have been and may still be a broken human? Our job is to help bring them to Jesus and help them to see their identity in Christ. If they have an addiction problem, or sex outside of a biblical marriage, or broken the law, it is not our job to condemn them. Whether they know Christ or not, the identity we have in Christ is the identity we want them to have. So let's, as hands and feet of Jesus, let's teach them the hope of Jesus that doesn't shame us due to our sins. And as a part of Christ's body, we won't shame them either, okay? We want them washed like we have been washed. We want them sanctified, and we want them justified just like we are. We know that Jesus came down for us because we have a sin problem, but he loves us. There's that buddy, and but he loves us. We have a sin problem, but he loves us, so he died for us, and he came back to life 3 days later to give us hope. And that's why I'm standing up here today, because I want you to know that there is hope for you. The Bible says, just like she mentioned earlier, that you are created for a purpose, and that purpose is because God loves you, and you need to find your purpose in Jesus. You're not going to find it out there. I want you to search yourself today and find out what you are truly letting define your identity. Are you saved from sin and letting something else other than Jesus define you or control your life? Or do you not even know the forgiveness of the cross yet? Are you still on a path to hell and don't know the you that God made you for? Or are you that person who identifies with Christ but points fingers of shame and blame, acting like you've never sinned or had problems before? Guys, I don't know you, but I know God does. So please listen to him. Please respond according to how God is leading you. If you want to come up here and kneel and pray, and you're nervous about it, let me know and I'll kneel and pray with you. Somebody else will if you want. All I ask is that you open your heart to Jesus, no matter what he's telling you today. And he may not be telling you anything. He may talk to you about this 3 days from now or whatever it is. But guys, when Jesus is talking to us, we know it's Jesus, whether we try to pretend it is or not. So listen to Jesus. There is no promise for tomorrow. There's nothing that you can do tomorrow today. We are here today. Our identity as believers is found as Christ, and he tells us that we are to take care of the lost and the brokenhearted, And that's what I'm encouraging y'all to do. So find out who you are. Find out what God wants you to change in your life. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. Find this out, because now's the time to claim who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? There is no tomorrow.